you're listening to the weekly podcast of Life Ministry Church. For more information, head to our website www.lmc.org.au.
As I said, I was going to do a completely different message, Jesus is our rest, but I've got a different one tonight. And it's this one. So I couldn't find the I couldn't find that front piece, Jules. I forgot to email you saying, Jules, I can't find it. I lost it after my last message. Jesus is your everything. And that's why I feel God wanted me to come and encourage us all with tonight. Tonight isn't so much a teaching night. Tonight is really more about encouraging. Jesus is our everything. He's everything we're ever going to need. And so it's almost like a sequel or a follow-on from my last message. I spoke a message on Jesus is our I am. And for those who weren't there, those words, I am, are very, very significant. Jesus wasn't just simply saying, I am, because he had a lot of self-confidence. I am actually means, or comes from the Old Testament, when God said, I am that I am, which is the translation of that in Hebrew is, Ayah. I think I pronounced that, I hope I have. When you translate that into English is, I will be everything you need me to be. That's what I am means. And I feel tonight God wants us just to take some time and let's reflect on the messages, the amazing messages we've heard this year of what Jesus is, who Jesus is, and think about that for our life right now and apply that to our life right now. I don't know about you, but sometimes I feel this is what I pray to God. This clicker's not working. There we go. Have a look at the picture for a second. Does anyone actually feel like can relate to that? Yeah, anyone prepared to put their hand up? Yep, I went through probably 18 months where that's all I almost think I could pray. I shared this testimony a few years ago and I talked about the journey God led me on, 9 years ago. Life is messy. And I know in my humanness as a man, in my weakness as a man, and the stuff-ups I do myself, I sometimes forget in the chaotic things of life and when I'm mucking things up, I sometimes forget to stop and just to think and reflect and pause on who Jesus truly is. That even in that chaotic moment of my life, Jesus is still who he says he is and nothing has changed. Nothing has changed in the slightest. It says in Matthew 24:35, these following words, heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away. We have a God, we have a Jesus. His words were even before we were created. They always have been, they always still are, and they always will be. And we have to continue to rest in the truth of what that is. Why? Because we do live in a world that there's so many different theologies. There's so many philosophies. I'm using these E's tonight. And there's many different ideologies. But they're all trying to dilute or to dispute or even contradict the word of God. There's so many things being said out there today and you can get hold of things so quickly through social media and the internet, which is more and more becoming contrary to the word of God. You can see it. The truths of the word of God which he spoke, the morality of God, the principles of God's word are being challenged like we've never seen before. And they're even being forgotten. We live in a generation today where there's kids who have never stepped foot in a church unless it's for a funeral or a wedding. They don't know about God. I've experienced it myself as a teacher when I was back at Littledale High School. I left there 21 years ago. Talking with some kids there, they'd never stepped foot in church. And they say, oh, what do you do in church? But it's even more today. We actually live in a nation today. I don't know if they sound this all doom and gloom, but we do live in a nation which was founded on godly principles, but we've forgotten them. We don't know what those godly principles are. However, we know God's word, the truths of his word, and most importantly, the truths of who Jesus is will never change. They are incapable of changing. God's word will never change. Jesus will never change. In the course of human history, there's never been a single man like Jesus who's had such an impact on all of humanity. Jesus was, and we learnt this earlier this year with a video series, Jesus was, is, and always will be the game changer. He completely changed everything. He completely revolutionised our relationship with God. He completely revolutionised the way we can relate and have encounters with God on a daily basis. He completely revolutionised our expression of worship. He completely revolutionised how we live our daily lives. Do you know, under the Jewish law, there are 613 laws they had to live by? And I'm not saying this to be disrespectful to the Jews in the slightest. Do you know many Jews still live under those 613 laws? I know that because I've been teaching Christian studies this year for the first time at Year 10. I think I've learnt more than the kids have. But 613 laws, guess what? Jesus came and took those laws away. He fulfilled the law. The law no longer has to rule our lives because we live under grace, and we've heard about that already. Jesus came so God's glory, God's power, God's authority, and ultimately God's plan for salvation for all humanity would come from heaven to earth like never before. It's incredible what Jesus did. We sing about Jesus, we talk about him, but when we stop and think about it for a minute, Jesus, you changed everything. You completely changed everything. There's been a prayer which has been going through my head over the last probably 12 months, and God's challenged me with this a few times, and I can't get, every now and then it keeps coming back again. And it's this prayer, and you know the prayer very well. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. God has really challenged me. Let's see God's kingdom come through us, his church, on earth as it is in heaven, each and every day. And that's what I was saying before. Are we prepared to say, Jesus, we want to step up and do that? We want to be that. Jesus allowed the fulfillment of that prayer and brought the release of God's power and will to earth like never before through the cross. I know you've heard me say this before, and I don't want to sound like an old record. We don't need another outpouring of the Holy Spirit. God did it. God did it at the day of Pentecost. We just have to continue to say, Jesus, we want to see the power of that Holy Spirit in my life each and every day, to see it fulfilled through what you called me to be and us as a church to be. And tonight, I just want to spend some time reflecting on all these different things about who Jesus truly is. Jesus is everything. And I want, as I go through some of these scriptures, I just want you to take some time to think about it and reflect on your own life. Does that apply to your life right now, or do you need to go and change something in your life to make that more real for you? Because I'll be honest, as I've gone through this, it challenged me. There's a song, and I've talked about this before with other people, you know the song, You Can Have It All, Lord? In one sense, I don't like that song. I'll tell you why. When you really think about the words, that's really hard. Jesus, you can have it all? You want every bit of me? Yeah, I do. Now, I haven't got there yet because I still fight God. I don't mean to, but my own humanity comes into it. I still have to try and work it out myself sometimes. It's just the way I'm wired. But one thing I learned when God took me through that journey 8-9 years ago about dying to self, and as I said, dying to self doesn't, you just don't do it once and that's it. It's a daily thing. Is the more I release God to want to do what he wanted to do in my life, the freer I became. The more I actually said, God, here it is, you can have it, the freer I actually felt. I could stop trying to do it all myself. I still fall back into it, but it's incredible when you can start to live in that. So the first thing, this is no particular order. Jesus, and I've done this deliberately, Jesus is your constant. Jesus will never change. It says Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today and forever. Hebrews 13 verse 8. That has never changed. Your life might be changing on a daily basis. Our world might be changing very rapidly, but Jesus hasn't and Jesus never will. And we need to learn to rest in that. Regardless of what that messy prayer might feel like with that picture I showed before, always know that Jesus is your constant. And we've already read that scripture before. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away. So if Jesus' words can't pass away and God's words can't pass away, then they can't change. They have to remain the constant. The second one. Bit of a longer scripture, but I'll read it out to you. Jesus is your inseparable love to make us conquerors in all things. And it says here, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, for your sake we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. Now in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, nor angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all of creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. I think that pretty well covers it. In one sense, I feel like I could stop now and say no more. Nothing can separate us from Jesus. I don't know how many times over the years when I've felt it, but when I've had people come to talk to me saying, oh, Jesus must feel, God must really hate me at the moment. Why? Because I've done all these things. He doesn't love me anymore. And I said, that's not true in the slightest. He can never not love you. And nothing can ever separate you from Jesus' love. And we need to be able to rest in that every day. And let's be honest, I can guarantee every one of us at some stage in our walk has felt that God has stopped loving us because of something we've done. I don't know if I've ever shared this, but I had a young man a few years ago now when I spoke at a young adults group down in Ringwood, and I said these words to him. I said, mate, everybody has a clean future. That one sentence changed his life, not because I'm an amazing person to say things, because Jesus touched exactly what he needed to hear. He realised for the first time, regardless of whatever his past life was, it doesn't have to dictate the future. And that God still loved him in the midst of that. And we need to learn to be able to rest in that truth as well. Jesus loves us. It's an easy thing to say, but the word love is so often twisted around in society these days that we make it out to be something that's not. Jesus died for you because he loved you. And it's as simple as that. It's the greatest act of love that humanity has ever seen. Nick talked about this morning. Jesus is your grace. For the grace of God has appeared that offers salvation to all people. In Titus 2:11, then it says in 2 Timothy 2:1, you then, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. There's so many scriptures I could have put up there about grace. The Bible talks about it extensively. God's grace is his unmerited favour. I heard my dad one day many years ago counselling someone over the phone, and I'll be honest, I was slightly eavesdropping, but anyway, I won't go into that. And I heard the man say to my dad, I don't deserve God's love. And at first my dad's answer shocked me. He said, no, you don't deserve it. And I sat there going, what? Hang on, don't say that, Dad. It's going to make things worse. But then he finished off with this. He said, but neither do I. None of us deserve God's love. But God's grace has been extended, his unmerited favour, not just once, but twice, three times, four times. It's a constant. Jesus' grace covers you each and every day. It doesn't change. Sometimes I forget about that in my life because I can get hard on myself when I stuff things up. My perfectionist comes out in me sometimes in bad ways. But I have to just rest in the truth that regardless of what I did or said or acted, God's grace is there to cover me and to pick me up and say, Mike, let's get back on the path and do it again and keep going. Jesus is your salvation. And I know you already know this already. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Everybody. Maybe tonight you haven't quite worked that out for yourself. But trust me when I say it. If the word of God says it, it means it. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. I love this next one in Colossians 2:3-14. When you were dead in your sins and in the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made you alive with Christ. He forgave us all our sins, having cancelled the charge of our legal indebtedness, which stood against us and condemned us. He has taken it away and nailed it to the cross. What an incredible portion of scripture that is. We can never, ever pay for what we've done. There's a thing called penance. It doesn't work. No matter what you try to do to appease the things you've done, it doesn't change anything. All you have to do is cry out to Jesus and say, Jesus, forgive me, and it's done. Because he took it on himself. He took it on himself for us. Now I know you all know that, but sometimes we forget the significance of it in our lives. The enemy knows it. He'll try to sometimes deceive us and say, well, is that really true? Yeah, it is. Oops, there we go. I was speaking actually another young adults group a few weeks ago, and it was a question and answer night, and I was told it was going to be that. It was actually quite an amazing night. They had some amazing questions. And one of the questions they put to me is this: well, if the Bible says that Jesus heals, why does it not always happen? The truth is it doesn't always happen, but it doesn't take away from the truth that Jesus is still our healer. He still heals. I don't understand every time why it doesn't work out that way. And I'll be honest, I struggle with that, like I think some of you have too and probably do. But my ways aren't God's ways. My thoughts aren't Jesus' thoughts. His ways and his thoughts are higher than all of ours. But that's where we just have to go, you know what? I'm just going to still trust Jesus. And I'm going to just trust regardless of what I see. But Jesus is our healer. He was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was on him, and by his wounds we are healed. And I believe those wounds aren't just physical wounds, they're also emotional wounds he can heal. The physical wounds sometimes look really obvious because we can see them, but sometimes we carry emotional wounds we don't see, they get hidden away. Jesus has healed emotional wounds in my life. I thought I didn't need it. One day he showed me I did. And a lot of stuff I had pushed down in my life, because I'm a Bradshaw, we do that. I've learnt not to. But you push it down and just get on with life. God came and he healed those systematically. He took them all away and took that away. The power of the emotional hit, the wounds I had, he took the power of that away. Every now and then, those wounds might try to say, hey, but you know what? That doesn't dictate to me anymore because God healed them. Jesus took them on the cross for me. Maybe tonight you're struggling with an emotional wound. Maybe from something that happened last week, maybe something's happened 10 years ago. Jesus can and will heal that if you allow him to do it. I'll be honest, sometimes it takes a degree of being honest and transparent with someone to say, this is what I'm feeling. But the power of that can be incredible when you allow God to do it. The next one. Jesus is your cornerstone. Now, I'm not a builder. Anyone a builder here? You could explain this better than I could. Any builders? I mean, she might know a bit about this. Cornerstone. The cornerstone is the most important part of the building. Is that correct?
Yes.
Thank you. All right. You're an engineer. I'll just trust what Hamish says. The cornerstone's the most important part. I think from my understanding is when you put the cornerstone down first, and that's where everything else gets built from. And it says in Ephesians 4, consequently, you are no longer foreigners and strangers, but fellow citizens with God's people and also members of his household, built on the foundations of the apostles and the prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the cornerstone. In him, the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. And in him, you too are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit. I love this thought. I'll be honest, I can't always get it in my head and fully understand it, but the Holy Spirit dwells within me. I am the temple of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit dwells within you. The same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells inside of you. It's alive. He's alive. He's active within your life. And Christ Jesus is our cornerstone in that. But I love this little bit here. And in him, you two are being built together. We're getting built together in this. We're not meant to do this on our own. We do it together as a body, united under Christ. And we live by his Spirit. Now, all these scriptures, I could preach on every one of these. I've got probably like 14 messages just from all these scriptures here. But the whole point being is, let's just continue to reflect on the truth of what Jesus is. He's everything in our life. The next one, I'll keep moving this along. Jesus is your peace. Now, I'll be honest, this is one I do struggle with. Not in believing it, but I know my head can run ahead of me sometimes. When things start to crop up, I start to imagine what might happen down the track. And I'm getting better at it, but sometimes I still let my imagination get the better of me. I'm a creative person, I suppose, through my music. And I think sometimes that gets the better of me because in my creativity, my imagination can let go a little bit. But it says in Colossians 3:15, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. Since as members of one body, you are called to peace and be thankful. We are called to peace. Even in the midst of our struggles, we can still walk in peace because Jesus is our peace. And that last little bit when it says, and be thankful, I think there's a real strong reason for that. It's not just a throwaway line at the end. As we continue to thank God and honour him, it means we take our focus off the things which are causing us to feel unrestful or not at peace, and it puts our focus back on Jesus. The more we can keep our focus on Jesus, the things start to fade away. And it's incredible when you do that. I'm sure many of you here could testify to the peace of God when you've done that and how it's just come. In fact, it says in Philippians 4, verse 6 to 7, do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, there's that word again, present your request to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. So the peace of God through Jesus, which will completely doesn't make sense, shouldn't be happening, is still going to happen anyway because God's going to guard your heart and your mind through his Son. Jesus is our peace. Maybe at the moment in your life, it doesn't feel very peaceful. Maybe there's things in life at the moment which are really causing you stress. That doesn't mean we dig our head in the sand and think it's all going to go away. Unfortunately, life does that at times. But in the midst of that stress, God can still be our peace. Jesus can still lead us down that path of peace and trust if we allow him. Jesus is your conqueror. It says in 1 Corinthians 15, 55 to 57, O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? For sin is the sting that results in death, and the law gives sin its power. But thank God, he gives us victory over sin and death through our Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, when we lose people, it's sad. It's going to happen. That's an emotional response when we grieve. But we still have a hope in the future that one day we're going to see them again. Because death does no longer have any power over us. We simply move from this life to the next. And we get to spend eternity with Jesus and worship him. This next one, I used to get encouraged a lot as a younger child. And having disarmed the powers and authorities, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them by the cross. Through Jesus' death and resurrection on the cross, he completely destroyed the power of the enemy. Totally destroyed it. The enemy has no authority over you through Christ. He tries to deceive you and thinks he has, but he doesn't. The Bible actually says that the enemy's native language, I think that's the term it uses, I read it like that before, is lying, is deception. He can't speak the truth. He manipulates the truth, but he can't speak the truth. And I'll share you with a very quick experience I had, which I've never forgotten, many years ago. This was before we had Tegan and Maddie. We were living up in Mount Evelyn. I don't know what the scenario was, but there was something going on in my life, and I did feel there was a real spiritual attack going on. I can't remember what it is, but I knew there was something going on. And Anita was out, and I was at home in the kitchen, and I started praying. I actually started praying out loud because no one was there, so I didn't feel silly. And as I started praying against the thing which I was praying about, I saw, and you all know the scripture, a massive lion. I could see it, this massive lion walking around in front of me, and he was huge, absolutely huge. He was walking around very proudly. He was walking around with a lot of arrogance. He was making all the big noises lions do. And if you looked at him from a natural point of view, he looked incredibly intimidating. But the funny thing was, as he walked past me, and then he started walking up that way, and he was looking away from me, I actually started laughing out loud. I don't know why I did. I just started laughing out loud because I thought it was funny. And I can see this as clear as day today, even from many years ago. As soon as I laughed out loud, the lion spun his head around and his absolute shock came over his face. It was almost as if, why are you laughing? You should be scared of me. And I continued to laugh. And as I laughed, he went from this massive beast to a little kitten and he walked away. And then the Holy Spirit said to me, said, Michael, that's who you're fighting against. And that really impacted me. He has no authority over my life. He has no authority over your life. He is completely defeated. And we have to trust in that Jesus did it for us on the cross. And I sometimes, when I think about the cross and the absolute depravity of being killed like that on a cross, would have been an incredibly painful experience. I'm sure the enemy would have been somewhere in the background with the other people gloating and laughing, saying, I've won, I've won, I've won. He didn't win. 3 days later, Jesus rose from the dead and he completely destroyed the power of the enemy. In fact, when he died on the cross, what happened in the temple? He split the curtain in two. Once again, like I said, he completely revolutionized our relationship with God. I encourage you tonight, if you have something in your life where you're struggling with spiritually and you feel under attack, rest in the truth of what Jesus has done and stand against me and say, enemy, you don't dictate to me. You have no authority over my life or over my family. I will step in the gap and pray on their behalf because I have all authority through the name of Jesus. I could give you countless experiences where, as I prayed for people and actually gone into ministry and deliverance, as we call it, to that person, and when you start to speak the name of Jesus against that particular demonic spirit, the power just goes bang, and what happens? It's incredible. I don't say that as any type of boast, but I say it because Jesus does the work, not me. It's his authority that does that. I've got a few more to go. Jesus is our hope, power and authority. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened. And I suppose that's the cry which I've got for all of us tonight, myself included. I pray that everything I'm saying tonight would enlighten our hearts of what Jesus is and who Jesus is, in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in his holy people, and his incomparably great power for us who believe. That power is the same as the mighty strength he exerted when he raised Christ from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly realms, far above all rule and authority, power and dominion, and every name that is invoked, not only in the present age but also in the one to come. And God placed all things under his feet and appointed him to be head over everything for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills everything in every way. That's a long scripture to read, but think about that for a second. That's incredible. The hope which we've been called to. We have an incredible hope. Incredible hope. This world doesn't know what hope is at the moment. Hope's been sucked out of it. I see it in the kids at school. At times you can see the hope. I won't get into that because I'll get sidetracked. But the hope which has been taken away from this generation of kids because of all the fears which have been raised up through all sorts of different media things which have been said. But we have an incredible hope. And we have the incomparably great power for us who believe, the Holy Spirit. Three more to go. Make it four. Jesus is your Lord. Is he? Is he your Lord today? And this is a hard one, let's be honest. We like to control things at times, don't we? Lord means to hand everything over and come under someone else's authority completely and submit to them. But Jesus is your Lord and he wants to be your Lord. At the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is the Lord to the glory of God the Father. And I know many of you, if not all of you here tonight, have said, Jesus, I want you to be my Lord. Can I continue to encourage you? It's a daily thing. It's something every day we have to continue to submit ourselves under. And the more we do it, the more God will use us, the more we can get revealed of who truly God is. Let's stop doing it in our own strength. Trust me, every time I look in the mirror, not every time, but I look in the mirror and that's me. I try to do things in my own strength. No, let's hand it over to God and let's do what that song says. Jesus, you can have it all. Jesus is your praise. I love playing with the music team here at church. It's an awesome thing to do. They're a great bunch of people. I love the worship we do here at church. Let's continue to praise God. Let's continue to praise Jesus in the midst of the worship here. Praise is an incredible, powerful thing. Incredibly powerful. God inhabits the praises of his people. The word says that. But when we praise Jesus, we take our focus off ourselves and we put it back onto Jesus himself, because that's what it's all about. I'll share you a really quick experience. What time have I got? Did you say 8 o'clock, Chris? No, I'm only joking. It's only joking. 7 to 12. I'll finish up in a minute. I'll show you a little example of an experience I had on trumpet many years ago. And I pray that I do. And I mean this seriously. I pray that this would happen again. And, well, there's a few, but I'll give you one. I was asked to play at a church down in Heathmont. It was a church which, in fact, Ken Symes. Remember Ken Symes? He used to be here. He came down to be part of it. It was a church which was opening themselves up to the things of the Holy Spirit. It was all very, very new. And I was asked, for some reason, I knew some of the musos down there, oh, could you come down and just play trumpet for the two nights? And I went down. At that particular time in my life, I had a whole lot of physical issues going on with my trumpet playing. I won't go into it all. And my trumpet players, we call our lips our chops. So that's what I'm trying to say. My chops, my lips just didn't really want to work. They were almost like fatigued from a running point of view. They were really tired and they just didn't want to work because it's a muscle up here and it just didn't want to work. Anyway, I went down and I said, okay, I'll play, but I wasn't sure how well I'd going to be able to play. On the second night, and I still vividly remember this, on the second night, the end of the service, they opened the pulpit up for anyone who had any words. And as soon as he said that, within 5 minutes, I felt God say, get up and play your trumpet. And I knew how hard it was to play it that night because I was really struggling. I said, I'm not getting up there. I was scared, I'll be honest. I was very fearful. I had done it before. It wasn't like it was a new experience at my own church, but not here. He said, no, get up and play. So I said, okay. Or let's say after 5 minutes of arguing with him, I got up. That was almost 5 minutes. And I walked up the front there and I said, I have nothing to say, but I feel God wants me to simply play my trumpet. And I said, go for it. All I remember, as I put the trumpet to my lips, it took off. That's all I remember. It just started to play. And I'm not exaggerating when I say that. I closed my eyes and just, okay, God, do what you need to do. When I opened my eyes up, I didn't realise this. There's all these people down in the front on their hands and knees worshipping. Someone started to manifest in the back of the church. And God started doing all these incredible things, not because of what I did, because the Holy Spirit came through my instrument. When you start to praise, it's amazing what releases the power. And I pray for us as a church, and I'm sure it's happened before, but I pray in the future we'd see that again in a new, fresh way, like I said before. And I think I might have said this to us as a team or as a church at some stage in the last few months. I do believe there's a new experience of worship that we're going to see as a church. But let's hunger for that in our hearts. That as we get up there and worship, as we worship as a team, but as we do it as one body, not us as here and you here, as one body, that in the midst of that praise and worship, salvation will start to break out. Healings will start to break out. Deliverances in people's lives will start to break out. It can happen and it will happen. And I think it's just me saying that. I believe it's God's prophesying that for us tonight, right now. Do we want that? Yeah, we do. I desperately want to see it again. I desperately want to see people come to this church because they hear there's something going on which they need to connect with. There's something happening in the services that I hope one day on Sunday night this place will be completely full. And can I say that? I'm not saying that for those who are not here tonight to put them down. I'm not saying that at all. But I pray that people desperately want to come back to church because they want to have more of God. Because it comes not through us, but through the power of Jesus. I love this one. Jesus is your returning King. Jesus is going to come back one day. He is going to return and place his authority back, his kingdom back on this earth. Now, I'll be honest, I'm not an end time scholar in the slightest. I don't understand. I'm never going to try to go there. Then the seventh angel sounded, and there were loud voices in heaven saying, the kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. That's our hope, that Jesus one day will return and he will reign forever and ever. And guess what? We get to do it with him. By the way, I think I have said this before. When Jesus returns, guess what happens? The trumpet plays. Sorry, Andy, it wasn't a guitar. It's not drum kit. It's a trumpet. So I knew that the trumpet is God's most holy instrument. It's proven biblically. And guess who plays it, by the way? Michael the Archangel. I think that's really cool. I was really excited when I heard that. I'll be honest, at one stage in year seven, I thought, well, maybe that's me. But then I realised it wasn't. Child life. But Jesus will return. And when that trumpet blasts, man, it's going to be an amazing experience. Let's not take our focus off eternity. Our ultimate hope and our ultimate eternity is Jesus, and to be with him. And last but not least, Jesus is your sustainer in all things. Jesus is your everything. He is our everything. The Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being, sustaining all things by his powerful word. After he had provided purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty in heaven. Hebrews 1 verse 3. Tonight, I hope you've got the gist of what I've been trying to say tonight. Jesus is your everything. He has done everything you need. He is your great I am. He will be everything you need him to be at that particular time. Yes, life doesn't always work out how we expect and things take all sorts of different turns. But that's where we just have to trust that Jesus, you're in control. You are still Lord, regardless of what I think, regardless of what I feel. God's love is still there for you each and every day. And I pray for each of us that we go away tonight with a new sense of hope in that, a new sense of being able to rest, which is what my message was really going to be about, in the truth of what Jesus says, in what the word says about Jesus in our life. It's for you. It's not just for the person beside you. It sounds a funny thing to say, but sometimes we always dismiss it, oh yeah, it's for somebody else, not for me. No, it's for you just as much as the person beside you. We just have to go, Jesus, we want it. And I know all of you, I'm sure all of you here are saying that. Can I encourage you to continue to do that? Continue to rest that Jesus is your everything. And rest in it and trust in it. One thing I learned about rest, and I'll finish with this, is you have to trust to rest. If you don't trust, you can't rest in that person. My dad, when I was growing up, I knew Dad could do anything. Oh, I thought he did. I never ever felt he couldn't do something. I could rest in that security each and every day as a child. And that's a great thing for a child to have. My dad can do anything. And I love that about my dad. That's the same thing with our Heavenly Father, but even more so. The same thing about Jesus Christ. He can do anything and everything for you. And I encourage you tonight, go away with that hope. And not act it just tomorrow, but act it the next day. Live in it the next day. And share that with people around you. Live it in your life each and every day. And let's pray, Jesus, what do you have for me for next year? We're not quite there yet. Well, what do you have for us next year as a church? And let's start to hunger for something more, even more so. And let's stir each other to those things. Encourage each other with it. God's not only ever limited by us. I don't believe in raising the bar anymore. I'll tell you why. Because when you raise the bar, you're still putting a threshold on something. I believe in taking the bar away. Let's not limit what God wants to do. I'm going to pray, but at the end of this, I did say, if you are struggling with fear tonight, I would really love to pray. In fact, I'm going to ask everyone to pray in a minute. I'm just going to ask you to put your hand if that's you, and I'm just going to pray. Is that okay if we do that? Okay. Let's pray. God, I want to thank you for every person sitting here tonight, Father. Jesus, I thank you for this church. I thank you for every person who's not here tonight, Father, who calls this place their home. I pray that this year we've had some incredible every week messages on who Jesus is. I pray that tonight has just been a time for us to stop and to reflect again on all the things that Jesus, you truly are. You are the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. You are our Redeemer. You are our salvation. You are our healer. You are our conqueror. You are our provider. And I could keep going on and on and on. Jesus, you did it all. And I pray for every one of us tonight that we could go away in the confidence that that is truly for us as much as the person beside us. I pray for people tonight if maybe they're struggling with something which I've said tonight in relation to under spiritual attack and don't feel that conqueror, or maybe not feeling that sense of peace or looking for that healing which they've been crying out for. God, I pray that you could use the words tonight through your scripture to encourage them and to reaffirm the hope that they live with each and every day. Father, I pray for us as a church, we would see a new manifestation of your Holy Spirit upon this church. I pray that we would cry out as a church and say, God, we want to see it. Not so that we can gloat in it, but so that we can glorify and honour you and to see people encounter the power of Jesus through this church and through our lives. Lord, let us dare to believe that you'd want to do something new and something afresh. God, you're worthy of it all, absolutely worthy of it all. Jesus, thank you for dying on the cross. Thank you for being obedient. Even when I don't deserve it, even when we don't deserve it, it doesn't negate anything. You did it because you loved us. And I thank you for that truth in the name of Jesus. And just while I still got eyes closed, if anyone here tonight doesn't know Jesus and you'd love to make that commitment, or maybe you've, I think Nick said this this morning as well, fallen away, or maybe you've really struggled with that. If you'd want to make that recommitment or make a commitment tonight, just throw, put your hand up right now. I'd love just to pray. I'm not going to ask you to come up to the front, so there's nothing scary to do. But if you want to, if you feel like you'd like to recommit, or you need to say, Jesus, yeah, I need to get my life back on track, I just encourage you to put your hand up in the air while everyone's eyes are closed. If anyone here tonight, if you know fear is something too you're struggling with, I'm going to ask the same thing. Could you put your hand up right now? I'd like to really pray. If you know fear is something which has gripped you, either small or large, whatever it might be, I just want to ask you to put your hand up. I'm just going to pray that God would break that fear off your life right now. Don't walk in fear. There is no fear. I'm going to give you a few more minutes of people putting their hands up. Thank you for being honest. There's no shame in the church. Don't feel any sense of shame that you shouldn't be feeling that. If you feel it, then you be honest about it. Okay, thank you. God, I pray for those people who put their hand up. I speak the name of Jesus over those people right now, and I speak the word of God over them right now. Jesus, God, you have not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and of sound mind. And I speak that over their lives right now. And I pray, Lord, whatever they might be fearful of, if it's one thing or multiple things, I pray that God, you would break that power right now in Jesus' name. Fear, on their behalf, I rebuke you. I have the authority to do it because Jesus has given me his name to use. And I use it not under my authority, but under the name of Jesus. Fear, you're a deceiver, you're a liar, and you know that. And I rebuke you right now on their behalf. And I command you to be silent. I command you to be silent within their hearts and within their minds. And Father, I pray that in the midst of that, you could come and just give them your peace. When fear tries to rise up, let the word of God rise up within their lives and know that, God, they can rest in you. And I thank you for this, Lord, in the name of Jesus. And Lord, we pray all this tonight. And I pray that tonight what you wanted to be said has been said, Father. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.